Mike Bailey, a pioneer of the Gulf Coast wine scene and award-winning food entrepreneur.
I know a lot of you wonder what to do with your moon pies. Well, I've got some wine suggestions for you. Lemon moon pies, Sauvignon Blanc, Chenin Blanc, or Pinot Grigio.
Stuart Reb Donald, acclaimed food and travel writer and world-class chef.
I was chef de casserole. I made the casseroles in the frozen food department.
For more than a decade, they've combined their expertise to answer your questions and introduce you to the culinary movers and shakers you want or ought to know. Four-time Taste Award finalists, 13-time Nappy Award losers. They are the dynamic duo of dining.
Drop, keep a screaming for more.
Mike and Stu on FM Talk 106.5.
Welcome to another edition of the Sip and Chew Show on this beautiful, nice, breezy, coolie, kind of nice.
Fallish type day, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
And let's see, what is today's date? October 12th.
Yes.
Fall is finally here. Once again, Finch is right. Summer ends in Mobile in the middle of October.
There you go.
What the stupid calendar says.
That's right. So he is absolutely right about that.
Those dates on the calendar do not denote spring, fall, mm-hmm. summer, and winter. They denote phases of the sun.
Yeah.
They have nothing to do with seasons.
And the moon.
Yeah.
And the moon, that's right.
But gumbo day, though, too, isn't it?
But yes, and what a better day to have National Gumbo Day.
Yeah, October.
There's really two good holidays. There's National Gumbo Day and National Pulled Pork Day. Both are important down here.
To read your shirt. Don't be rude. R-O-U-X-D.
Like
just
rude.
Show me dat gumbo.
Yeah. This is a shirt I had made for judging a gumbo competition over in Fairhope. Yeah. I've done for the last 2 years. Hadn't
heard
anything
ridiculous.
About this
they
shirt.
Usually give you a t-shirt when you judge.
Floor of Emma does. Yeah. Not all of them. Yeah. But yes, two great days. And today, Stu and I are going to talk about gumbo today.
Oh, okay.
We're done.
That's going to be a...
Okay. We've said enough.
Well, that was a fun show.
That's going to be a subject because I want to tell you, there's things that will cause fights. It's politics, sometimes religion, and gumbo.
And that's stupid for all three of them.
And it is.
But there are no hard rules for gumbo except one.
There's one rule.
Okra.
That's it.
That's the only rule.
And we're going to be stressing on that today
because
people think just throwing in a bunch of pot and maybe adding a little sausage in it, vegetables, or...
That's jambalaya.
I'm
being funny.
Yeah.
But we'll get into
people
that.
Use the word gumbo to mean a melange or mix, and mm-hmm. that's not what it means.
Mm-hmm.
It's a specific flavor that we're going
for. It's a West African word.
And a native word that was very similar that also meant okra.
There you go. That's it.
There was another word in native. I bet David J. Hubble could help us out if he wants to call in, by all means. But I also understand if you're getting ready for church.
Or if Gene Fox.
Yeah. You know,
my buddy Gene, our buddy Gene Fox down on the island.
Yeah.
And there's history with gumbo on Dolphin Island. It goes back to the late 1600s.
Yep. Yeah. In fact, the history of American gumbo starts at Massacre Island, Louisiana, which we now know as Dolphin Island,
Alabama. Hmm. Absolutely. Anyway.
But, gumbo originates, I'm just taking this off of Mike's Facebook page, from West African languages. Specifically, the word, is it Kinjumbo? Is that how you?
Well, I don't know. Gumbo. He doesn't speak Swahili.
Kinjumbo.
Kingungo or gumbo. Referring to the vegetable.
Yep.
Okra. Okra was originally what you used to thicken before the French showed up and introduced roux.
Mm-hmm.
So this was a something that was served long before the French had anything to do with it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I do like the addition of the roux.
Well, you got that, and two, you got the sassafras tree. And they use
the filet.
The filet.
To clarify, what is roux? R-O-U-X.
Roux is a combination of flour and fat.
Mm-hmm.
That is then cooked. It's the base for most sauces. Mm-hmm. Gravy starts with a roux.
Yeah.
Alfredo sauce in the U.S. starts with a roux.
Okay.
Cheese sauce starts with a roux. Macaroni and cheese, first thing you do, you make a roux. Or in Mike's case, you pull a box out of the cabinet.
I don't make mac and cheese. I don't do mac and cheese.
Especially out of a box. But, so, yeah, it is, it's just a mix of flour and fat that are cooked for an amount of time that is determined by what your recipe is.
Okay. That makes sense.
Etouffee starts with a roux.
Yeah. Chicken grease, you know, the after you cook the chicken, and you put in the white
flour,
and then you stir it around with a little milk.
Yeah, and you're, what you're wanting to do is cook it long enough to cook the flour to get the raw taste out of it, because it's very bitter when it's raw.
Right.
If you've ever just taken a spoonful of flour, don't take just a spoonful of flour.
No.
But you want to cook that rawness out of it, and which doesn't take very long, a couple of minutes. But the longer you cook it, the more you change the notes of the roux, because then you get into caramelization of the sugars in the butter and in the flour. And the more caramelization, the more flavor, until you get to what New Orleans does, where they just burn it and say that tastes good. But it doesn't.
Yeah. I'm just put pepper in that, and it'll work out fine.
Yeah. But, you know, and they'll tell you you got to cook that roux till it's dark, dark brown. Every one of them says that is lying to you. They got a bottle of what's called Kitchen Bouquet.
Not me.
It's called the Cajun Grandmother's Secret. Mm. And that is what they get their roux dark with. And it does. That's when it doesn't taste burnt.
Interesting.
With the exception of Jennifer, no.
No.
It's a reduction like tomato paste and a bunch of other stuff. Okay. It has very little flavor, just on its color. Jennifer Botiford has the only truly dark roux I've ever had that does not taste burnt. Every place in New Orleans that does that extra dark roux, it just tastes burnt.
She did hers on a fire.
Yeah, she's also got a pot that's worth more than Mike and I make in a year that allows her to cook that roux really slowly without having to worry about it burning.
Hmm.
Yeah, it's just it's.
Is it a cast iron?
Or yeah.
Is it, okay.
Yeah, I believe so.
My son just.
Now, I've heard legends of Jennifer Botiford's
gumbo pot. I do totally different.
Yeah. Okay.
I do it in a microwave.
He's space age.
I'm listening.
Yeah. Alton Brown wanted to know why I do it in a microwave. And I said,
microwave
distributes the heat more equally around.
And it's controlled. You cook it, what, 5 minutes at a time before stirring?
Something like that.
Yeah. So you check it every 5 minutes.
And I put it in there. I put a little flour. Mm-hmm. You know, I get my grease real hot. When I would do competition, I'd try to get there at 3 or 4 in the morning and start cooking my bacon.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd start popping beer. And I'm sitting there drinking beer, eating bacon. And all my neighbors, other competing teams, when they get there, I got a pile of bacon for everyone to eat. And then all I need is 5 pounds of bacon fat.
And that's ridiculous when you could just go by Roy's and get a tub.
This was before Roy.
Who was home.
So anyway, but the microwave distributes the heat more equally.
Zero.
And it gets hotter than the stove and oven have hot spots. Microwave doesn't. It's equally
grease pops. That's what I'm trying to figure out with a microwave. So how do you?
Well, it does with the bacon, but not when you're heating it up to when there's nothing in it.
Yeah, well, it's just fat and flour. You don't have anything to worry about.
And okay. I put the flour in stages, and I put it back in, and I got a whisk.
Okay.
And I get it to where it's so dark brown, it's starting to look a little black.
Mm-hmm.
But all of a sudden, when you pull it out and the air hits it, it forms a crust. On the top, and you punch it like you do with wine.
Mm-hmm.
You just do a punch, and you'll see it looks like a volcano, the smoke just puffing out of the dead center of it.
Hmm.
It's just puffing. And then I punch with my whisk and stir, and I create a thick paste. And 5 pounds of bacon would be make enough roux for 30 gallons. And in some of those competitions, you got to produce 30 gallons or so for the number of people that show
right,
up.
Right,
right. Yeah. So the more you produce, the better chance you got winning People's Choice Awards. So David Hubble says, I'd love to call in, but I'm driving for the next hour. So far, so good, guys. He approves what we're saying.
Woo, yay. Yeah, we'll expand more on roux in the next segment because there are different ways of doing it.
And I want to talk about what wines Yeah. There's actually good wines, a lot of wines, too, that you can...
I know what Justin Wilson always recommended with his gumbo. What kind of wine you like? That's what kind of wine goes with the gumbo.
That's the way I feel. 251-343-0106. It's the call-in line. Call us and ask us questions about gumbo. Tell us about your gumbo.
Or we'll lie to you. How about that?
That's that. Girl, you know that there's one thing.
Mike Bailey, Stuart Reb Donald, devoted to the complete gastronomic experience.
I want a big butter and egg man.
Mike and Stu on FM Talk 106.5.
All righty, we're back. And
Mike, you will rue the day you brought up this subject.
Yeah. Stu, don't be rude. Don't be rude. So, if you haven't noticed, we've been talking about gumbo, and that's what because
why is
National Gumbo Day,
or one of them?
Down here it's every day.
Yeah, huh?
Is there more than one?
There's more than one national day for anything. Well, there's about eight cheeseburger days.
I didn't know that.
Anybody that wants to claim a national day can do it. So the shrimp, this is probably the oyster people that are doing it right now, and then when something else is in. It comes in, they'll go, oh, it's crab season. It's National Gumbo Day.
What else goes in gumbo? So, oh, it's National Crab Claw Day.
Huh? Yeah, it is. It's National Flower Day.
There you go. Yeah.
I was going to ask, you said oysters. Is there an oyster roux?
Well, not a roux, but you put oysters in gumbo.
Yeah, you put oysters in gumbo.
Well, but I'm just curious. Yeah. How could you make a roux with oysters?
You wait till the roux is done and then add the oysters.
Well, okay. Roux you just make with flour and a fat.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. Oil, or in my case, I use
like a fish
bacon
oil.
Grease.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Just curious, my dad used to love oyster soup, so maybe that was.
Oyster soup is a wonderful dish. It has three ingredients, milk, butter, and oysters.
Right.
And that's it.
Yep.
And then a little salt and pepper on top of it.
If you put a little flour in there, then would that be considered a roux?
That would be.
Just a paste.
That would be chowder. That would be a chowder.
Okay.
We were talking, Mike microwaves his roux. I tend to do mine traditionally. There is a better method than both of those.
Okay.
And that is roasting the flour with no fat in an oven. Gives you all
I've seen that. Yeah. And I attempted that one time, and I did not have any.
There's no reason.
Great or just no success whatsoever.
There's no reason to attempt it. Because Zatarain sells it. The roux that's in the thing is authentic. Buying it from a store and adding it in as it is making yourself. Because they have just taken care of the step of roasting the flour for you. And I'll tell you right now.
How do you roast gumbo flour?
Put it on a sheet pan. Put it in the oven. It's like 300 degrees.
Ah.
And every now and then you take it out. So it's just the same technique.
Water or something? But I mean,
no, just flour. You're roasting the flour. It toasts while it's in there. It's just bread that isn't cooked yet with no water.
Billy Small Bacon said he's all covered up right now. Covered up in bacon.
Oh.
I bet he's got a lot of grease.
That's sexy.
Good fat to make roux with.
He's a fat man.
He's all covered up.
Yeah.
No, Billy's not a fat man anymore because he lost a lot of weight.
Fat.
No.
Fat.
Yeah, P-H-A-T.
There you go.
But the roasting the flour in it. And if you've ever seen the Zatarain's or Cajun Chef, the ready-made roux, that's what they've done is they've already toasted it for you, and they went ahead and seasoned it for you as well. Now, there's two different ways to use a roux to thicken something. I bet Mike doesn't know the other one. Okay, what you have to have one cold element and one hot element for it to work. You cannot add roux to hot water and it works. Hmm. It turns into dumplings. It cooks as soon as you put in it.
Makes sense.
You can't have them both cold. Everything will clump up, but in a different way there. Traditionally, the roux is hot, and we add stock or water or whatever to it that's room temperature or cold.
Mm-hmm.
That creates that temperature difference you need for it to mix properly. The other way to do it, and I have done a lot of soups this way, is I cook the whole soup. And then I get a already cooked roux. And you can also buy roux already cooked in a jar. that's cooked the old-fashioned way. Those all work. They just took out the most boring step because there's no talent to making roux at all. All it takes is patience. It takes patience and attention to detail, not talent.
Because all you what I tell you about, you know, gumbos can start fights.
But no, it doesn't take any talent to make roux.
Look on your face then at all.
Yeah. Mike, there's no talent involved with what you've done.
It is the way I do.
No, it's not talent. It's attention to detail.
Oh, there's that.
That's
too.
Different. Talent is creativity. It's just having a feel for it. You have a system. That's fine too. But it's not talent because you don't need talent to make a roux. You're just stirring for 45 minutes to 3 hours, depending on how much roux you're making. That's all it is. You're just standing and stirring. It's boring. It's not creative at all. It's not like searing a steak and, you know, the stuff you have to do to that. It's just standing and stirring. It's boring. That's why I don't like making gumbo. It's boring. But, so skip the part that doesn't take any talent. And get your roux. If you struggle with roux, if it is an issue for you, it's not a talent thing. You're having trouble with the attention to detail, the patience, and that stuff, which is the boring part of doing anything, is the attention to detail part.
You know what they say about opinions, Mike?
Everybody's got one.
Yeah. But that's the thing, Mike. What you're calling talent has nothing to do with talent. Does it fit the definition? It takes no talent to put something in the microwave for 5 minutes, stir it, put it back in. That's not talent.
And if you spend 5 minutes trying to explain attention. Why it's not talent, right. It's still talent.
Right. There's talent is the opposite of what you're doing. Talent is all feel. You're doing a system. Okay. Attention to detail. It's not. I'm not saying it's lesser. It's equal.
Okay.
It's equal, but they're the opposite. It's like a person who can read music perfectly and a person who can only play by ear. They're coming out with the same result, but they're taking two different methods to get there. One's doing it on pure talent. The other one is doing it with attention to detail.
Okay.
Right.
I understand what you're saying.
Yeah. Right. I'm not denigrating it. I'm saying it takes no talent to do it. It takes patience.
The method in the microwave is a lot quicker than because I'm already got my when I at competitions I already got my roux done and they're over there still stirring the pot
right
and my part's already done
right. It doesn't take it took ingenuity all of that. It just didn't take talent.
But what it did do is save time.
Does save time.
Right. Like I say, there's nothing wrong with it. I'm just saying the roux is the most boring part of making gumbo.
It probably is.
So skip it. Because I remember I did this cook-off. John Foles was one of the judges. And it took us 4 hours to make our gumbo. 3 hours of it was stirring roux. And then you just dump everything else in. And that's boring.
Well,
we took shifts being the person who was bored stirring
for
3 hours.
But you know yourself, the Dolphin Island Gumbo Festival.
Yeah.
You couldn't chop your vegetables ahead of time or anything.
Yeah.
It all had to be done right there. Now, all the other competitions I've been involved in hadn't been that way.
Yeah.
I can bring my roux already made.
Yeah.
And see, and then I found out later, I said, well, that's not as challenging as, you know, you just bring all your ingredients and put them together and cook them.
But as a judge, it's a lot better if you're judging a cook-off where they get to cook their roux beforehand. Because how many burnt roux have you had? And
that's part of the competition.
Yeah, but I don't want to taste that.
That's their fault.
If you screw up, don't submit it. That's what you should do. If you burn your roux, just back out. Don't make me have to taste that. That's torture.
I've judged some too. Yeah. They were like, "Wait," and you can smell it when it's coming. You go,
"Oh yeah."
When they get in the room, you go, "Yeah." All right, we got something here.
I did one
scorch one.
Yeah, I did one judge cook off that we judged. That we were given, that we had so many, we had like 37 gumbos to try and 4 judges, which was just ridiculous.
I've been in
and situation. One of us would taste one and go, don't even taste number 4, just fail it. Because we were getting so many bad. Out of 37, there were 8 that you didn't want to spit out. There were only 3 or 4 that even tasted good.
Mm-hmm.
The ones you didn't want to spit out had so much water in them because they used the same recipe they do to make a gallon at home, but had to make 10 gallons with it. So it was just water.
Yeah.
They just kept adding water.
Yeah.
But coming back to the roux thing, the other way to do it is to take cold roux into a hot liquid.
Mm.
That's where your pre-cooked roux comes in. Have it refrigerated. bring your gumbo to a boil. It's done like that. Then dump your roux in at the very end.
That makes sense. That makes a lot of sense.
You can put a gumbo together in 45 minutes. It tastes like you spent all day on it.
That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, there are tricks that professional chefs have come up with that will save you that time that do not compromise the flavor at all. This ham base that you can get, and it's just ham stock that's pulled down to the point that it's still that it's like peanut butter. Then you add it to water. Tastes every bit as good as having ham hocks in the water the whole time. Mm. Tastes just as good. It's a shortcut that does not compromise flavor. Does cost money, though.
Yeah, does in everything.
Yeah, but there are shortcuts out there that do not compromise the quality and all. And as far as, well, the rules of gumbo say this, the rules of gumbo don't say anything. New Orleans, they are huge on this. You don't ever put sausage in seafood gumbo. Well, you're stupid. Sausage, pork, and shellfish are one of the best food combinations on the planet. And you're going to leave that out because of some stupid tradition?
Yeah.
Keep in mind, most traditions are dumb, y'all. Mike, what's that number?
251-343-0106. Call in and get into the conversation here. Yeah. Let's see if you Stu says that you have no talents.
Whiskey therapy sessions. Buying drinks to buy some time beneath the stained glass neon lights while the bartender listens. As long as you're tipping.
For more than a decade, Sip and Chew with Mike and Stu on FM Talk 106.5.
I don't smoke, I don't shoot.
Hey, you know, that'd be a good song for National Gumbo Day.
Yeah, we ought to remember that next year.
I know it.
Whenever it rolls around.
Hey, I got a few birthdays here. Happy birthday to Jacqueline Bailey, no relation, Robinson. Do you know who that name is?
No.
Do you know who that?
Jackie Robinson.
She is the founder.
No.
Oh. She is the founder and owner of Mobe Beignets and Baytown Burgers.
Both good places.
Both good places. Tell her happy birthday.
That's a darn good burger, man.
Huh?
That's a darn
good burger. It really is. Yeah. And they serve beignets there, too. What a combination.
Yeah. They have a beignet burger, you know.
Oh, I'm sure they do.
Yeah.
But if you see her, tell her happy birthday. If I'd known Thursday night that it was going to be her birthday today, I would have said, because she judges, too, at the grilled cheese meltdown competition. Also, if you happen to go to Callahan's, I think she's working today. Jenny Varnes' birthday is today. She works at Callahan's. Sweet girl. Her dad's a great musician too. I don't ever see him playing anywhere anymore, but he's a great guy. But say happy birthday, Jenny. And our buddy Kevin Brooks. He had his birthday the other day. And National Days, as we mentioned, Gumbo, National Gumbo Day. But today is also National Pulled Pork Day.
Which makes no sense.
Sue said in break, that don't make no sense.
Yeah.
And sure enough,
I don't think of October as pulled pork time.
It's like one of them's going to overshadow the other.
Yeah.
And I will say pulled pork. This is about pulled pork. I do like pulled pork. It's great on pizza. Believe it or not, pulled pork, smoked pork on pizza is delicious. Yeah. No sauce. Maybe a tiny bit of sauce. I don't like sauce on my
pizza. You just use the marinara.
There's a
it's on the pizza. Yeah. I don't have a problem with that. Yeah. It sounds delicious.
But I don't like salsa on my pulled pork or my any barbecue for that matter. I like it on the side. Barbecue places who douse their barbecue in sauce, that tells me they're trying to hide something.
They come from the school of thought that barbecue should always be doused in sauce.
Right, right.
Yeah.
And
there are lots of people like that don't want it if it doesn't have sauce.
And I'll go in and I'll order barbecue and I said no sauce on it. And
sauce on the side.
And then they'll show up with sauce on it. I said, no, I don't want sauce on my barbecue. I want it on the side. And they look at me like, huh? Mm-hmm. And I'm no. I want to control how much I put on there.
Yeah. I've never been to any place that was baffled when somebody said they wanted sauce on the side.
Plus, I want to be able to taste the meat to see how well they smoke that meat.
Yep.
and I can't tell if it's covered in barbecue sauce.
Right, not covered in barbecue. Drizzle, okay with a drizzle, because then you get plain bites. Some with a little sauce.
I want some. But Steve, we got some callers over there.
Indeed, we got Redneck and Gaucher, or is it Gaucher?
It's Gaucher.
I know. I'm just a Yankee. I went through this when I did a show.
That town's still around?
Yeah. Anyway, go ahead.
David, how y'all?
All right.
Have you run up to Wiggins lately? And what's going on in Wiggins, man?
I take the bypass. So, yeah, I grew up in Gaucher. I live in New York now. I've been up there about 20 years.
Oh, isn't that accent? That is not a New York accent.
No, I look. Yeah, they tell me I sound like a Yankee when I come down here. When up there, they tell me I sound like a redneck, so we just run with it.
You're not going to win. Just go with it.
So y'all talking about shortcuts, you know? Yeah. And my grandma used to make roux medallions. Yeah. And what she'd do is she'd make the roux and to get out the plastic, the wax paper, and drop 2 tablespoons and little dots on the paper. And then she put it in the freezer. And I think she may be keeping about a week or two, much longer than that. So if she want to make a cup of gumbo, she want to make a pot of gumbo, she just grab as many medallions as she needs. Yeah. Lickety split.
And for all you purists, she's already put the work in. She just did it ahead of time.
Yeah. But can I give a shameless plug to y'all?
What was that?
So I've been up in New York now, so I just happened to – I'm down here visiting family for a songwriter festival and cruising the coast, and I stumbled across y'all, and I'm so glad. So I've been – for the past 15 years – I got a show called Gumbo Yaya Radio Show in New York.
Bring a little bit
of a dose of the coast.
Dose of the coast.
Oh, I like it. And you're the mouth of the South?
Hey, you go away. Yeah, you reckon.
All right, man. Hey,
y'all check us out.
You know where we are on Facebook, right?
I'm going to find you.
Yeah, it's just Sip and Chew with Mike and Stu on Facebook. Hit us a message. We'll schedule it, and we'll have you come on sometime in the future, maybe around Christmas time, because you know how that is down here. Thanksgiving, Christmas, you expect the gumbo.
Yeah. So, yeah,
and answer me this, man. Did you ever go to D's game room and punch that punching machine?
Come on, man.
I pegged that mug out one night, man. Nobody wanted to mess with me. I maxed it out. Everybody,
where are you from, man? Because I grew
Mobile,
up, right?
I went to Perkinston.
Oh, okay. I went to Grace Christian in Ocean Springs.
Yeah, I went up to Perkinston and had a bunch of buddies that were from Gaucher and Pascagoula or Gula.
So you're slumming, huh?
Yeah.
So what's the name of your radio show again? Your show?
It's easy. Y'all know what a gumbo yaya is.
Yeah,
I'm sure.
Yes.
Gumbo with rice.
Just add radio show to it.
Okay.
Gumbo Yaya Radio. I like it, brother. Appreciate you calling in, man. And
hey, man, I appreciate you.
Yeah, thank you.
And I love food, man. That's my show. It's all about food and music, you know, because I studied culinary arts. I had a restaurant up in New York for a while, and then now I'm professionally unemployed.
I love it.
All right.
I love it, man.
That's about what I'm aiming for one day.
Yeah, same here. All right, Redneck.
You know the secret?
Gaucher.
You know what the secret is?
Well, that.
It's a Yankee bride with a job, but you can't come back home.
All right, buddy. We sure appreciate it.
All right, buddy.
Much obliged.
Yeah. You got another one for us, Steve?
Yeah, Jarhead, go ahead.
Uh-oh, Jarhead, I know I'm in trouble now.
Yeah, well, y'all been talking about roux, but I got a sandwich that's just going to ruin you.
Oh.
Yeah, well, I was fooling around with some stuff that I had left over from breakfast one day, and I decided I was going to make a grilled cheese sandwich. So what you need is 4 strips of bacon, semi-crunchy, and 2 pieces of Konecka smoked sausage cut long ways. Go ahead and put your butter on your bread, and you throw it in there, and you throw your slice of cheese in. Put 4 slices of bacon on there, and put you some them 4 pieces of Konecka on there, another slice of cheese, and you top it off with another piece of buttered bread, and you just make a grilled cheese sandwich. Mm-hmm. And I call this thing an orgasm, because when you bite into it, you're going to go, oh my God, that is good.
You're going to try and put a ring on it?
Well, it'll put a ring on you, I guarantee you.
I have done did it on Studio 10 one time. I did an ALT, an andouille lettuce and tomato sandwich, And I got the Halls on Dewey, which I can't wait to get Halls back. But I would take it like you're talking about, and I sliced it lengthwise so that it looked like strips of bacon. Is that what you're talking about with your Kaneka?
Exactly.
Yeah. And then you can get that crispy, or it'll curl up like a pigtail, like Mike's pigtail. And I've done that with sausage before, too. It's a real neat way to cook sausage.
Well, and the thing about it, the Awful Waffle tried to copy the bacon grilled cheese at one time, and for some reason they don't have it no more, and I don't know why, because just a plain old bacon grilled cheese sandwich is great. But
just ask.
You throw that Kaneka sausage in there with it, and oh, dear Lord.
Yeah, you know, they'll still do a lot of that stuff. You just got to ask. It went secret menu. They still make omelets, but they're not on the menu.
Well, they make a lot of stuff that's not on the menu, and the prices have done about doubled on everything that they got nowadays. So,
well, that's because the price of everything they used. That's because the price of everything it takes to make it has doubled.
Does the price of hash browns actually doubled?
Probably. With this economy, everything's expensive.
Well, I'm going to tell you, I know reason I don't compete in gumbo competition anymore, I can't afford the seafood.
Yeah.
It's just outrageous.
Yeah.
Right now.
Well, now, somebody, a young lady at work told me about a gumbo that she made the other day, and she actually puts swamp rat in there, Nutria.
Yeah. I've heard of Nutria chili in Louisiana before.
And they say it tastes like deer meat, but it's a little bit more gamier. Well, yeah. I'm not so sure I want to try no Nutria gumbo.
Yeah, it's one of those things that if I'm starving, yeah, I'm not going to hesitate. But I'm not going to go out of my way to eat a giant rat.
I put a recipe on the foodie page and on my page. It's a squirrel gumbo. Mm-hmm. And it's even got okra in it.
Yeah, that squirrel gumbo is probably way more accurate than seafood gumbo is. It was not a seafood dish originally. It was usually made with wild birds that would have tasted to us very similar to chicken.
Well, I do love me some fried squirrel and some fried rabbit with some mashed potatoes and gravy and some big old cat head biscuits.
Oh, man, nothing makes better gravy than wild game. The venison.
You got that right.
The quail gravy is so good.
I love quail.
Yeah.
Love quail.
Now we're going to go outside and shoot some animals when we get done, aren't we, Mike?
All right, guys. Well, I enjoyed it. I'm going to keep on listening, and y'all keep on talking about some good food.
All right, Jarhead. Appreciate it, brother.
You know, when I was at John Foles's a couple of years ago with David Hubble.
Name dropper.
And, you know, we were having a great time eating wild animals.
Yeah.
It got me thinking to come back, and I'm out in a Rouse's parking lot, and I see all those seagulls out there, and they're pretty –
I'll tell you what gets me.
They got some pretty big chest, you know, and I mean, that's got to be a lot of meat on that bird.
I'll tell you what gets me is seeing pigeons. That squab. You've heard of roast squab under glass? That's a pigeon. We got delicious food flying around the buildings in downtown Louisville.
I don't know. Have you seen their claws in the last decade?
They don't eat the claws.
Well, they got something going on. They're losing their claws.
Huh? Well, and that makes them easier to eat.
They can't sit on the edge of the building anymore and poop on people when they walk by.
Yeah.
But
no matter how much they got it coming.
But the pigeons, I mean, I'm thinking, if you're hungry, do people talk about, I'm so hungry that I could eat a pine cone. Look, I'm going to eat a pigeon before I'm going to eat a pine cone.
Yeah. No kidding. Squirrel.
Yeah, squirrel. Yeah.
I will put peanut butter on the pine cone and sprinkle some bird seed on it, and then I will eat whatever comes to eat that off of the pine cone.
There you go.
Yeah. Well, keep in mind, like, small game that we were not allowed to keep now, for understanding, in a poverty situation, 25-inch-and-a-half long bass will save your life just as much as 1-pound-and-a-half bass. You just make a soup with it.
Yeah.
Just throw the whole fish in there. Or a bunch of tiny little parakeets or something.
Did you see the guy who was arrested just the other day for eating he killed and ate his two peacocks.
So why did they arrest him for that?
He got in a fight with a neighbor or something like that.
Oh, so it was unrelated to eating the peacocks?
So he killed his peacocks and ate them. I wonder if they were good.
What if they were the neighbor's peacocks?
That'd be even better.
251-343. When we get back, Mike's going to tell us about grilled cheese sandwiches.
And why?
They are the dynamic duo of dining. Sip and Chew with Mike and Stu. Call 343-0106. Now back to Mike and Stu.
Well, folks, I know you're sitting at home and wondering, you know, they've talked about all these delicious recipes with gumbo and pulled pork, but I gotta know what wines go well with gumbo.
Beer.
Don't... I do like beer. I do like my beer with my gumbo.
I got a tip. Quick tip.
Yeah.
Thought. Okay. So upcoming Halloween, gumbo, kind of a scary looking dish, right?
Kind of. It can be scary for some people.
Yeah, you look. It just
especially
like
if you're allergic to seafood.
It looks like all sorts of parts of stuff are in it.
It
so
is.
You can serve, you know, gumbo. So Halloween tip, right? Free beer on a cooler with a fake snake tied to the lid. Sit back and enjoy.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah. What wines?
I'm going to say, just like, you know, gumbo has a lot of flavor and seasoning in it. Mm-hmm. You need something to kind of settle that and enhance the spice, the flavor of the spice. But I would go with a dry Riesling or Gewürztraminer, just like Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. Because you can harness those flavors and just it enhances those flavors a lot more.
You said a Gewürztraminer?
Gewürztraminer.
Okay.
It's G-U-W, but they pronounce it verse, you know,
because it's German, not English.
Absolutely.
Right. W's or V's.
Absolutely. Yeah. But they say it that way in France, too. Mm-hmm. But
because they speak German.
That's right. They're on the border.
People in Europe are not monolingual. They speak more than one language.
Absolutely. Yeah. But a dry Riesling or Gewürztraminer. I would also put a light Pinot Noir, probably from Sonoma Valley, Russian River area. Those tend to be a little lighter, not as heavy as like Oregon or French Burgundian. But a light Pinot Noir, I would put a Beaujolais with it. If you can find a Beaujolais around... something like that, a nouveau Beaujolais.
Yeah, and, say wait 2 weeks.
Yeah, and you know you can't drink Beaujolais longer than just that period that's released. Right. It they do
like it would last with you.
Well, there is that. But anyway,
heck, I've still got a bottle of sparkling you gave me for Christmas 2 years ago.
So okay,
yeah, it's just
waiting. Don't let it get hot.
Nope, just wait. No, it's in a cool.
Okay, yeah,
but
yeah.
Just waiting for a need.
There you go.
I mean, just sitting at home drinking a bottle of champagne by myself is pretty depressing.
There is a 1-800 number you can call. Anyway, but I would also I would also put a Petite Sirah or a Zinfandel to pick up the spices more. And if you want to, you know, get a little zestier and singier, yeah. Those items is what I suggest. Pulled pork. Get a heavy Pinot Noir.
I was about to say, I want something rich and red.
Get a heavy Pinot Noir.
Yeah. Merlot?
Malbec. Malbec.
Malbec would be fantastic.
Oh, my God,
I think a Merlot would be nice.
It came from Washington State.
Or a big, bold Cabernet.
I would bring a Washington State. And Washington State makes some heck of a cabs now, too.
Yeah. I hadn't tried any. I love
Cabernet. I love my wines. Particularly Ovine Zinfandel from the Lodi region of California or the Paso Robles. So those areas right there. But anyway, that's my suggestions.
Now, you attended, we want to hit on this before we go, the grilled cheese arena.
I did.
What would you want? What would you pair with grilled cheese?
Nothing.
Depends on the cheese, wouldn't it?
We had a peanut butter and jelly grilled cheese. It was like a...
cream cheese
in it,
yeah,
and then they had
basically like a fluffernutter,
strawberry strawberry preserve with balsamic vinegar on top, mm-hmm. and then
that will keep it
butter.
From being too sweet as well.
But they all had to have something crunchy in them. Every one of them had to have something crunchy. We got bacon in a few. We got pork rinds mm-hmm. in a few, And one of them like took my back tooth out, but because I had a hard piece of it. But I love pork rind.
Anyway. If I were going to use a pork rind or something like that, I would go to a Mexican market or the butcher shop there in Robertsdale. Help me out.
Farm Fresh.
Yeah, where they do the whole giant pieces of pork rind. Mm. I'm sure Steve knows what I'm talking about from going to Mercado's out in the Midwest. Mm. There is no chance you're going to get a piece of one of those that will crunch your tooth. Those are the best pork rinds.
Oh, I got to try that.
Yeah, and it, like the ones I used to get in Nashville, it would be one pork rind, Mike. Side. Yeah, it was the whole side of pork off the pig. And it would be one pork rind that you could probably gnaw on for 3 or 4 days, light and flaky. Quick story, eating one of those at a buddy's. They're so light and flaky, my throat closes off to keep the dust out. Wow. So now I'm suffocating. My buddy is laughing his head off, pounding on the floor at me turning red, about to pass out. There's a cup on the floor. It has Dr. Pepper in it. That is old enough, it's growing something on top. My options are now suffocate or drink what's in that cup. I'm sitting here, ain't I? I drank what was in that cup.
That penicillin helped out.
and I finally, after 2 or 3 minutes, I'm breathing enough to be able to tell my buddy Jerry, you don't need to call an ambulance. And he's laughing the whole time. He goes, just so you know, dude, I was going to call Vanderbilt Hospital and ride with you in the ambulance. But, dude, a chicharrones almost killed you. He goes, I'd have been laughing all the way to Vanderbilt Hospital, too.
Yeah. I see where that'd be fun.
Yeah. For him. Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say.
But that does demonstrate to
you. He just wanted to ride
how light and airy those pork skins are. Mm-hmm. It's like eating a bed. Yay. Do not inhale while taking them.
I got to stop. I've got a Mexican restaurant on 181 in Daphne that they sell bagfuls of them.
Yeah.
They
make that's how we used to. Yeah. There's probably only 2 or 3 pork rinds in there. Mm. They're just really big.
Well, no, these are already cut up. But,
okay.
But I want to try one of those.
Yeah.
Now that I know about it.
Yeah.
I'm going to try it.
Farm Fresh will put it on Facebook when they're doing
that. That's when Aaron.
Don't last long.
I'll send Aaron a message and see when they're going to do them again.
Yeah, because I was doing some work over in Loxley a few years ago. We were working on a kitchen. And I took a break and went down to Robertsdale to Somerdale, wherever LA Barbecue is. Mm-hmm. We had that. I look on Facebook when we're coming back through Robertsdale and it says, we just got a batch of fresh pork rinds out. They won't last long. And I said, dude, in 2 blocks, you're going to take a left at this place. And we went in and got a bag. And my friend's like, holy cow. And I said, yeah, these are light years better than any pork rinds you'll ever have.
Wow.
They are unbelievable.
What I find is these little things, like that's what you're talking about. Mostly it's, the bagged in your
And they're meant for cooking with.
Over on the popcorn aisle, you never know if they're on the popcorn aisle or
the microwavable ones are pretty good,
too. I've always bought the microwavable.
You can always chip a tooth on one of those,
too. You can. I first had them at Patches Lounge, and then I found them in the store. Sometimes they're in the chip aisle next to the big containers of pork rinds or the bag of pork rinds, or they're on the popcorn aisle. You just
with
gotta
the microwave
look at both
popcorn. Yeah.
The microwave pork rinds are awesome.
Oh, really good.
And they're still popping. And if you ever go to the MRB Muddy River Bottom Bar over in the French Quarter, they serve them. And they got a dipping sauce with aioli they serve with them.
Cochon in New Orleans.
Mm-hmm.
Don Pork Centric Restaurant. They have a dessert with pork rinds where you dunk them in the chocolate.
Ooh. Folks, get out there, support local, be local, buy local.
And dunk your pork rinds in provolone.